can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan, groan. You can call your mama. You can make false rape accusations. You can start a subreddit. It doesn't matter, because there is the third possibility, the one that's true. You are wrong, and I am right. Go fuck yourself. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. 11 motherfucking years of podcasting. Suck my ball sack. I am right. I am always right. I have always been right. I will always be right. I am never wrong. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys, drops the people's elbow on them. Fucking stone cold stunner, wham, just like that, on every fucking statist on the planet Earth. Doesn't matter. None of you are bulletproof. None of you are immune. None of you out there, none of you statists, whether you're a femistatist, a homo statist, a tranny statist, a statheist, a left-wing statist, a right-wing statist, a fucking eco statist, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of statist you are, what? I know I'm spiking the fuck out of the microphone. I'm having a good time. Just relax, Randy. Relax, girlfriend. Relax. It's okay. Take a deep breath. Come on, it's a beautiful Saturday morning. We're here in the recording studio. It's not morning anymore, technically. It's a beautiful Saturday. We're here in the recording studio. I'm not having to put up with any motherfucking asshole musicians like I did last night. God damn it. Musicians are the fucking scum of the earth. It's too dark. It's too light. Well, I have a shit. My arm makes a shadow. Really? Hey, lighting guy, can you get rid of my shadow? Well, no, I can't, because you see, there's a light shining on you, and your body is a solid fucking object, and the solid object blocks the fucking light, and that creates a shadow. Yes, I can get rid of the shadow. I can get rid of the shadow by turning the fucking light off. Then you won't be able to see, and then I'll fucking hear about that. No, I can't get rid of the shadow. Why? How are you musicians so goddamn stupid? Fucking Christ! Can you get rid of the shadow? No, I can't. Anyhow, it's another day. This is a beautiful Saturday. Sitting here, there it is, 12 noon. Sitting here, I got my mug of hot tea, honey bush tea from Numi, which is delicious. I love that stuff. And I got a book here that we're going to talk about. I've talked about this a little bit in the past. What's that? Oh, I should do, thank you. I should do the administrative stuff. Today is November 7th, 2015. Stating the Obvious Podcast, brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com. On the interwebs, you can send us email at God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. Send us naked pictures of you if you want to, as long as you're physically attractive. Do not send naked pictures of other people without their permission. That's not fucking cool. I know there's no such thing as privacy anymore, and if you have nothing to fear, you have nothing to hide. Okay, but just go suck a dick. Don't send naked pictures of other people without their permission. Not that that's ever happened. I'm just saying, don't fucking do that. And if you want naked pictures of me, well, that'll cost you... What do you think a naked picture of me is worth? Randy says I should have to pay other people to look at naked pictures of me. Okay. More realistically, what do you think a naked picture, if I was going to sell naked pictures of me, what do you think that would be worth? 7 cents? Randy says 7 cents. I'm going to go with $20. Send me 20 bucks. I'll send you a naked picture of me. Anyway, what else? Theme song, Stating the Obvious, is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour of his 1984 album About Face. That music got me banned on YouTube for a short amount of time, but apparently I'm not banned anymore, at least not the last time I looked. And anyway, YouTube, we're over on YouTube. The older episodes, go over there. Lots of liberals liberals and Republicans leave whiny statements over there about how evil I am. It's pretty cool. What else? Did I miss anything? Or can we? Oh, and in the control room, the lovely and adorable Randy. She's over there reminding me to do this shit that I'm not doing. Here we go. All right, let's get the fuck this book. I have a dream. I have a dream that I'm going to get through this book discussion in only one episode of the podcast. I think in reality, it's probably unlikely, especially considering my inability to fucking focus and stay on topic. Because I like to digress, because it's fun, because it's my fucking podcast, and I can do what I want. It's my podcast, I can cry if I want to, cry if I want to. Wait, you're on your podcast, you're just ranting and beating on the table, and I don't like it. Well, go fuck yourselves, an actual YouTube comment. One of these days, I've got to do a response to all these stupid comments on YouTube. I'll get around to it. It's just, there's too much going on. So much to talk about. All right, speaking of talking about things, let me fucking stop digressing. Let's get on with it. This is the book, The Greenwash Effect, Corporate Deception, Celebrity Environmentalist, and What Big Business Isn't Telling You About Their Green Products and Brands. It's written by an environmentalist wacko named Guy Pearce. Guy Pearce believes that global warming is real. Guy Pearce is a tree-hugging hippie. Guy Pearce is a statist. And that's what makes this book so goddamn great. It was originally written in 2012, and there's an epilogue from 2014 that has some really interesting stuff in it, which proves all the points. Now, this book is important, and I recommend you read this book, because this book is an environmentalist wacko saying exactly what I've been saying for how many years? Every time some cocksucker comes talking about green, whatever, the point I always make to stupid people is that all this shit that you buy, just again, just look the fuck, go to Walmart, go anywhere, and just look at the shit, all the shit on these shelves, and all the shit that people buy. Things like the little knickknacks people put on their shelves, and things like, you know, you get these flyers in the mail, if you, the post office still delivers this shit, right? And it's, I get these all the time. It's like the, what do you call those people? They do like the commemorative plates, and they do like these little statues, like, show your Denver Broncos pride by buying this little statue of a little girl with a Denver Broncos shirt, and it's $100. Like, all that kind of shit. Let's not even, just that kind of shit. Shit that serves no actual practical value, okay? Because there's a difference. There's levels here, and let's start with that one. I mean, so for example, let's say you have a computer. I have a computer right here. We have three computers in this room right now. Four computers, actually. I don't have a single computer that's... The newest computer we have in here is like 5 years old. I don't buy a new fucking computer every goddamn year. Well, that's another topic. We'll get there in a minute. All right, so like a computer. Computer has some practical value. You do things with a computer. So when you devote resources, not you personally, society, the world, when resources are used to create a computer, there's pollution created in the process. There's carbon dioxide released, and oh my God, global warming, we're all gonna die. But at least the computer serves a function, right? It has some practical value. Look at all the shit our society, I know the royal hour, like the royal we, our society, like we created it, but you people participate in it. I've participated in the past. Again, I've had so much shit in the past, useless shit that I've bought that I've since thrown away, given away, whatever. I've done it, we all do it. There's all this shit we have that has no practical value. Like you buy this little statue of a bird and you take it home and you put it on your shelf with your other little bird statues. It does nothing. I mean, yeah, it gives you some psychological satisfaction. It does things in your mind, you know, right? The dopamine, or, you know, you have the pleasure of being a collector, and you can, but it serves no practical value. Now, just think, I'm talking about just the stuff in that category. I'm not talking about things like automobiles and computers and houses and clothing and just all these things that have some practical levels of value, and all the environmental destruction those do. Just think about all the bullshit that's out there that you don't really need. Those of you who do buy a new computer every fucking year. Those of you who are fucking Apple idiots. And God, the podcast about Apple users are total idiots is still one of the most listened to podcasts on this fucking web, on the website. People love it because it's true. People know it's true. Mac users are fucking morons. These are the, every time a new iPhone comes out, you gotta buy it. Every time a new iPod, not iPods aren't cool anymore. Every time a new, what do you call those? iPad comes out, you gotta buy the new one. Think of all the old one works just fine, but oh no, you have to have the new one because you just have to be cool. You use a Mac. You're so edgy. You think different. Ooh, you're a Mac user. You're so cool. You're too fucking stupid to know how to save a fucking file on the internet, but God damn it, you've got the newest iPhone and the newest iPad because you think fucking different. Oh, you're so fucking awesome. You're a Mac user. So you buy all this shit, and you have all the old devices that don't go away, and buying all this new shit generates all of this pollution and waste and environmental destruction. Remember, the iPhone has to be built in China. It's built in China by slave labor. It causes pollution. You need heavy metals to make the iPhone. The heavy metals come out of the earth by strip mining. In order to get the heavy metals out of the ore, you need chemical processes. Those chemical processes involve toxic chemicals that pollute the environment. You have to transport the ore from Africa, where much of the rare minerals are mined, to China. You have to burn fossil fuels in the process. You make the iPhone, you ship the iPhone across the goddamn ocean to the United States. You burn shit tons of fossil fuels in the process, driving it to the dock, putting it on a ship, coming across the ocean, unloading it in the United States, driving it across. And you people don't get, I've talked about this over and over and over, and you people pretend that this shit doesn't happen. And you pretend it doesn't happen because those of you who are statist, and especially environmentalist wacko statist, for you, anything that's out of sight is out of mind. It doesn't happen, right? That's why you don't see all the bad things the government does because they don't directly affect you. And so this allows you to pretend they're not happening. And it's the same thing with this rampant consumerism, which is different from capitalism. I know you don't think it is, but nobody gives a fuck what you think because you're a goddamn stupid ass statist. Okay, this is the rampant, this is what allows rampant consumerism to happen, along with, of course, stupidity and the lack of natural selection. But the fact that you people don't see all of this environmental destruction because you don't want to see it, because the fact is, you want the newest fucking iPhone, and you really, truly don't give a flying shit about the environment. You say you care about the environment in order to feel good. You throw your plastic bottle in the recycling bin in order to feel good. But as soon as it comes to actually doing, again, how many environmentalist wackos do you know that are all about public transportation, right? They're talking about public transportation, reducing cars, reducing pollution, reducing carbon dioxide, yeah, yeah, yeah. How many of those cocksucking fuckers have you ever actually seen get on a bus?
What the hell?
That, my friends, is what's called brilliant moments in podcasting. Somebody, we won't mention any names because it was me. Somebody made a delicious mug of hot honeybush tea and then put the kettle back on the burner and neglected to turn the burner off. So, in other words, I just attempted to burn down the recording studios here at the Cynical Libertarian Society. It didn't happen. I know that's making a bunch of you really sad. Oh, yes. Ah, the beauty of live podcasting. The beauty of not editing the podcast. Anyway, like I said, we're not going to mention who did that because it sure as hell couldn't have possibly been me. Randy, it's probably your fault because you're a woman. All right, hang on. You make fun of me all the time, but you can also make fun of me later. Okay, we had to double check. Everything's good. Though I have a feeling I'm going to have to buy a new teapot now. Speaking of buying things, I'm going to have to buy a new teapot now. Because when I've had awesome... Alright, what was I bitching about? Yes. Have you ever seen an environmentalist wacko who can't shut the fuck up about public transportation actually use public transportation? Have you ever seen that? The answer is no, you haven't. Because why in the hell would they use public? Public transportation is for other people, not for them. They're not going to use public transportation. But the existence of public transportation makes them feel good. It makes them feel like the environment is being saved. It makes them feel like things are green. And so they feel good and they keep consuming. As I have said over and over and over, behind all of this green shit, all of this green shit is just something, it's a propaganda campaign, it's a coping mechanism, it's an excuse factory that allows people to consume mindlessly and destroy the earth in the process, but feel good about it. That's all this shit is. This book, The Greenwash Effect, Corporate Deception, Celebrity Environmentalists, and What Big Business Isn't Telling You About the Green, Their Green Products and Brands by Guy Pearce is... Hold on. 260 pages of reinforcement of everything I've been saying. This guy's an environmentalist wacko. This guy thinks global warming is real. That's why this is important. When I say this shit, right, people, you don't believe in global warming. You're going to hell because you're not the same religion I am. You deny science. You don't believe in global warming. Nobody cares what you think. You're misogynist and racist and sexist and homophobic. Okay, well, guess what, man? Guy Pearce doesn't deny global warming. Guy Pearce is a fucking eco-wacko, just like you. And he sees every single thing I've been trying to explain to you dumb fuckers out there for years. And that's why you should read this book. Because this, if you're an environmentalist wacko, this guy's on your side. And he, I give him full credit. He's an environmentalist wacko, he's a statist, he's an idiot, but he's telling the fucking truth, which is hard to come by when you're dealing with an eco-statist. All right, let's see if we can get started on this. Where are we on time? Yeah, there's no way I'm getting all of this in one podcast. It's okay. I'm over it. I'm over it. So let's talk about the book in general. The book in general is very well organized. It's easy to read. The book is, I'm going to say, somewhat repetitive, but that's the nature of the book. So let me run through the table of contents real quick. Because he breaks these up into categories. So here they are. Banks. Oh, I just noticed they're alphabetical. I didn't even notice that while reading it. Banks, beer, big box grocery and retail, cars, celebrities, coffee. I love these people. I'm buying eco-friendly coffee. They pay a fair wage. It's carbon neutral coffee. See, I mean, that's the kind of shit. For you to believe that, you have to be stupid. You have, listen to me, you have to be stupid. No, it doesn't matter how racist, sexist, and homophobic I am. If you believe that the coffee is somehow carbon neutral, you're stupid. It doesn't matter what names you call me. And if you read this book, Guy Pearce will explain to you why you're stupid. And he's an environmentalist, just like you are. He's not an evil, racist, sexist, homophobic, anarcho-capitalist like I am. He's just telling you the fucking truth, that if you believe your coffee is carbon neutral, you're fucking stupid. You're fucking stupid. I don't give a fuck about your feelings. I don't care what the goddamn label says. I don't care how many times you voted for Obama. You're fucking stupid. Earth Hour, electricity, fashion. Yes, I mean, think all the, how many times I talked about this? All the money that women who care so much about the environment and the children, I care about the children and the future, how much money they spend on fucking clothes and shoes and makeup and all the resources that are fucking destroyed so that women can own 200 pairs of fucking high heel shoes. And a fucking cabinet full of makeup, chemicals that they smear all over their faces. If you gotta smear chemicals on your face in order to be attractive, yuck. Fast food, flights, freight, home appliances and entertainment, hotels, cruising and casinos. Oh, maybe they're not alphabetical, I just thought they. Media, online searching, shopping, socializing, online. Yeah, that internet use, that destroys the environment. So this is what I'm saying. I give the guy full credit. This is the only book I've ever seen that addresses all of this. People think, well, it's on the internet. It doesn't use any energy. Are you fucking stupid? You think the internet doesn't use electricity, which comes from burning coal, which pollutes the fucking environment and causes global warming? We're all gonna die! Gasoline, pets, phone, computers, and office electronics, professional service, real estate, sex, soft drinks, sports, sweet treats. Those are the chapters. So it's all broken down. The book is somewhat repetitive because, so in each of those categories, basically he says, okay, we're in this category. Here's this company. They say they're green. They say their carbon emissions are this. The reality is their carbon emissions are this and they're lying. Then there's this other company. They say that they're green and they have a green logo and they have a green task force. And they say their carbon emissions are this, but their carbon emissions are actually this, and so they're lying. And then there's this company and they have a green logo and they have a green team and they have this as their goal and they say they're going to do this and they say they're doing this and they say their carbon emissions are this, but they're not actually doing this. They're going to miss this goal. They're growing. And so it's kind of the same format over and over. He points at the company. He tells you what the company is saying and then he explains to you why this is a lie. And so in that sense, it's a repetitive book, but what else can it be? Because every company says they're green. Because that's what you idiots are willing to pay money for, because you're stupid. And the companies want you to spend money on their shit, and so they're going to lie to you and tell you what you want to hear so that you'll spend the money. So the book is repetitive in the sense that that's all it can be, is him saying, this is the company, this is what they say, this is why none of it's true. Let's get started. Page 30. All right, what the fuck am I supposed to be reading here? Dun 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 dun. Ah, here we go. So this is big box grocery and retail. We're talking about Whole Foods Market. So where's the bad apple in the bunch? Unfortunately, he's in charge. The founder and CEO of the greenest brand in America is also a climate change skeptic. In 2010, in an interview for the New Yorker, John McKay said that, quote, no scientific consensus exists on the cause of climate change, and it would be a shame to allow, quote, hysteria about global warming, unquote, to cause us to, quote, raise taxes and increase regulation and in turn lower our standards of living, unquote. While his personal views may not reflect the views of his company as a whole, they taint its positive action and its green mission. So in this chapter, he's talking about how Whole Foods Market is, in fact, the greenest company out of all the ones he examines in the big box grocery and retail category. But of course, see, that's not good enough, because despite the fact that Whole Foods Market, and this is how you know that global warming, environmentalism are a religion, by his own admission, Whole Foods Market is making the most progress on being green, whatever the fuck that really means, reducing carbon emissions, whatever. They're making more progress than any other company, but you see, the problem with them is that their founder and CEO doesn't believe in global warming. You see that what matters to the environmentalist wacko isn't what Whole Foods Market as a company is actually doing, or not doing, in the case of, you know, not polluting the environment as much. See, that doesn't matter. What matters is that the CEO doesn't believe the same religious views that Guy Pearce believes. The CEO doesn't believe there's a scientific consensus of global warming. Oh, so evil. And yet, oddly enough, Whole Foods, with the CEO who doesn't believe in global warming, is, by Guy Pearce's own admission, doing the best job at being environmentally friendly. I wonder if there could maybe even be a connection there. Page 33, first full paragraph. We're in the category of cars. The most breathtaking example of the genre to date is Toyota's Harmony Between Man, Nature, and Machine commercials. In one ad, a Prius speeds through a landscape in which everything is made of smiling people, the sun, the clouds, the grass, the trees, even a waterfall. This commercial is the car advertising equivalent of the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games. It involves 200 extras in elaborate costumes, and it took advertising and production technicians from Japan, New Zealand, and the United States months to put it together. There is even a short film showing the making of the commercial, in which all involved pat themselves on the back about being involved in something so clearly good for the planet. The irony of a green ad being this resource-intensive seems lost on everyone involved. Exactly. You killed how many fucking trees? You burned how much coal? You used how much electricity to make a goddamn television advertisement to tell everybody that you're saving the planet? Right? It's like raping women to show how many women you haven't raped. It's like gassing Jews to show that you don't gas Jews anymore. And, of course, it's a Prius. You fucking left-wing statist, eco-statist, just love your little Prius. I drive a Prius. I have a Prius, and oh my God, I feel like I'm doing my part to save the environment because I'm driving my Prius, and I'm driving my Prius. And, you know, I just, like, totally ignore the fact that the batteries that run my Prius are made from heavy metals and, you know, that'd be extracted from the earth by strip mining in Africa, and there's a lot of pollution involved with that strip mining and, you know, the heavy metals and everything. But you know, I just feel so good because, well, I have a plastic, I only drink water out of plastic bottles, and I know the plastic bottles have to be driven across the country in a truck that burns diesel fuel, but I always take my plastic bottles when I'm done with them, I put them in a recycle bin, and so I feel so good because I'm saving the environment, because I care so much because I care about the future and I care about the children. And that's why I think I'm going back to college because I'm going to get a PhD in ethnic studies with a minor in child psychology because I care about the children and the earth. I just want everything. I want the earth to be so, you know, perfect and pristine. And if only we could get rid of heterosexual white males because, you know, they do most of the environmental destruction because, you know, because they... Because they're heterosexual white males, I don't really know why, but if I take an ethnic studies degree, I'm sure I'll learn about it. Page 34. First paragraph. There's no false. Let me figure out where the fuck I'm supposed to be starting this. There we go. We're still talking about cars. There's no false information in the ads, but what's not mentioned is that, quote, no tailpipe emissions and, quote, 100% electric don't equal zero emissions. Plenty of the electricity comes from power stations run on fossil fuels. So the Leaf does generate greenhouse pollution from fossil fuels, just not from a tailpipe. Nice for Lance, perhaps, but not something polar bears would walk all that far to thank someone for. And again, you see this, well, my car's electric. It doesn't generate emissions. Well, yeah, it does, because when you charge your electric car, the electricity you're charging it with, they're burning coal in order to get that electricity. I know, now my electricity comes from windmills. Like, yeah. All the electricity on the planet Earth comes from windmills. You keep living in that. See, it's like, well, no, but my electricity, the electricity I'm using comes from, yes, your electricity is special. Like, you have this electricity that's segregated from all the other electricity, and anytime you plug anything in, your electricity is always magically coming from a windmill. It's only those evil Republicans and heterosexual white men who work for a living that use the electricity that comes from the coal-fired power plants. God, it must be great to live in this kind of a fantasy world, to just be so fucking stupid that you can believe this kind of shit. I understand why you people would vote for Obama, or Romney for that matter. All right, page 48. Now we're in the category of celebrities. 48, first paragraph. In 2005, the car company sponsored Paul McCartney's entire U.S. tour. There were no half measures. McCartney and his wife were driven to the shows in black Lexus SUVs, and the Lexus logo was everywhere, on concert posters, tickets, and backstage passes. A double CD of the tour, Motor of Love, was sold exclusively at Lexus dealerships. Its cover featuring a Lexus car hood next to McCartney's signature. Magazine ads promoted a special edition of the Lexus Hybrid SUV made in McCartney's honor, complete with a guitar painted on the side. Lexus TV ads used McCartney's music, which was the first time the musician had agreed to such a deal. The climax of the tour was McCartney singing, you guessed it, Drive My Car, as part of the halftime show at the Super Bowl, the most watched event on American television. Oh, it's so green. He's so green. He cares about the environment so fucking much. At the time, McCartney was quoted as saying, quote, it's good to be involved with a company that sees the value of an environmentally conscious product, unquote. Here is a performer traveling to America to put on dozens of concerts and teaming up with a car company for which the vast majority of sales are not hybrid vehicles. There's no indication that the concert's tour's emissions were offset, and the total carbon footprint of Lexus vehicles rose in the wake of the McCartney tour, with Lexus sales rising to record highs in 2007, largely on the back of U.S. sales. Sure, hybrids were the focus, but the ubiquity of the Lexus logo meant that McCartney's relationship with the company amounted to an endorsement of the whole brand. As McCartney said himself, quote, Alexis and I share the same philosophy and approach to creating the best work possible. Me with my music and art, and Alexis with the vehicles they create, unquote. Stripped the spin away, and it was just another celebrity greenwashing his brand and that of an emissions-intensive company. But again, see, you people can't fucking see this shit. Oh yes, and here we go. Sir Paul McCartney, typical example. A few years ago, the former Beatle started promoting hybrid cars for Lexus, yet his own special order, $158,000 Lexus LS600H, was flown over 11,000 kilometers from Japan rather than being shipped like most imported vehicles. The carbon footprint from the flight was estimated to be 100 times higher than shipping would have been, canceling out the emissions savings McCartney might make over the car's lifetime. As a carbon credit company quipped at the time, quote, "It's like driving the car 300 times around the world," unquote. The former Beatle was reportedly, quote, "horrified after learning it was delivered by plane," unquote, but kept his close working relationship with Lexus. It was, after all, a long-standing collaboration about much more, as it turns out, than endorsing green cars. So yes, all of these people, Lexus, Paul McCartney, all these people, they claim they're green, but, oh, I'm going to have my I'm going to have my car flown by airplane from Japan. Yeah, because you're special and you don't give a shit about the environment, and you know that the stupid people will just buy it. Buy it. I mean, buy that you care about the environment, not buy it, not buy the car, because nobody else can afford a $158,000 Lexus LS600H, whatever the fuck that is. Page 111. See, we're making good time, because again, there's not a lot in this book for me to read, because what you've heard, the whole book is just like that. It's just, yeah, here's this idiot. He says he's carbon neutral. Here's why he's not. Page 111, first full paragraph. Renewables, meanwhile, remain a relative slideshow for these slideshow. Remain a relative side. Oh, we're in the category of freight. Renewables, meanwhile, remain a relative sideshow for these companies. DHL talks up its renewable electricity use, but factor in all that transportation fuel it uses, and renewables account for less than 10% of total energy use. UPS has 2,600 vehicles in its green fleet running mainly on gas. Yet the company has 92,000 other vehicles running on regular petroleum. The solar power plant at UPS's facility in California cuts the firm's reported 22 million ton footprint by 500 tons. FedEx offsets just 1.8% of its electricity use with renewable energy certificates, and while it talks about four solar power installations, telling us this cuts the company's carbon footprint by 4,000 tons a year, it's peanuts against the company's annual footprint of 14 million tons. As of mid-2011, FedEx had just 43 all-electric delivery trucks out of a fleet of 70,000. There's no knowing what proportion of these companies' emissions are being neutralized by their voluntary offset programs. Presumably not much, or else the figures would be promoted publicly rather than concealed. Of course, these offsets are being paid for mainly by customers. The company contribution to its offsets is minuscule. In UPS's case, it capped its annual contribution to carbon offsets at $1 million. Yeah, you know, well, it's green. No, there's a bunch of trucks. Yeah, I'm going to order from Amazon.com. I'm not going to drive to the store. It's green. No, because you're not driving to the store, but UPS or FedEx or the U.S. Postal Service, they're driving it around. It's not green. It's not green, you fucking... Our company has 7 electric trucks. Okay, you have 7 electric trucks. And you have 7,000 that aren't electric. But you stupid people, you see this shit. And you're, oh my God, FedEx has solar panels on their building. Oh, they care about the environment. Oh, they care so much. And you believe this. Because you're dumb. Because you're stupid. Because natural selection says you should be dead, but the state is keeping you alive because without you, nobody would be dumb enough to vote for Republicans or Democrats. Page 113. through 114, home appliances and entertainment. I have written here in my notes that the poor must remain poor. So let's figure out what the fuck that means. In the time it takes you to read this chapter, some 7,000 people will have ducked out to buy a new television. Tens of thousands more will have acquired an air conditioner, fridge, washing machine, dishwasher, stereo, or game console. Surprisingly, large amounts of energy and materials have gone into making each one and getting it to the new owner. Now, the amount of materials that goes into creating all of these televisions, again, I've said this before, why are new television sets even being made? You can't tell me that there's not at least one TV set in the United States for every fucking person in this country. I've never bought a new television in my life. Every TV I've ever owned has been a fucking free hand-me-down. First one, a gift from my grandmother. Second one, a fucking hand-me-down free. Third one, hand-me-down free. I said, why? Why are these reasons? Well, because people want bigger televisions. You want to end all of this fucking... You're all concerned about global warming. We're all going to die, yada, yada, yada. Stop buying shit. This is what I've been saying. How many years have I been saying this shit? How many fucking years have I been saying this shit? You want to fucking save the environment? Stop buying new televisions. Stop buying new fucking iPhones. Stop buying new iPads. He's right about this. The amount of energy and material that goes into manufacturing all of this shit. Yeah, I want a new refrigerator. Well, does your old refrigerator still work? Then why do you need a fucking new one? If your refrigerator breaks, it can't be repaired, that's different. Well, I just want a bigger refrigerator. Well, so we see how much you give a fuck about the environment, right? Because remember, all this shit, I just repeat myself over. People ultimately care about themselves. This is the argument about why we can't have anarcho-capitalism, because everybody's selfish. Because I see right now there's fucking just no limits on people's selfishness as they buy a new fucking iPhone every goddamn... There's just... Yeah, no limits on selfishness, is there? Or, yeah, there's... Fuck. All right, anyway, let me get back to reading. They will all be plugged into the wall and start sucking down electricity. Depending on the electricity source... Buying a large new appliance is akin to signing a contract to emit a significant amount of carbon dioxide. A reverse cycle air conditioner in Australia might produce 17 tons over its lifetime. The average Australian household produces close to 10 tons of greenhouse emissions every year, and around half of that comes from white goods, home entertainment, and other appliances. These appliances are getting more efficient, but this benefit is being eroded by the rapid rise in numbers being sold. Across the developing world, people are enjoying many modern conveniences for the first time as part of an unprecedented influence in affluence. And again, this points out what myself and other critics of the environmentalist wacko global warming movement have pointed out over and over and over. The only solution to not putting more pollution in the environment is to stop people from doing things they want to do. And the only way you're going to stop people from doing things they want to do, also called spending their money the way they want to spend it, is to keep them poor. Right? This is why when people say, well, environmentalists want to stop progress and keep poor people poor, well, yeah, they do. Because that's the only way they can live out this little fantasy of theirs where pollution goes down. Now, of course, the other way is you can make pollution go down by finding more effective ways of doing things that don't create as much pollution. But, of course, they're opposed to that because that also creates value in the process. That creates wealth, and they are opposed to wealth, right? All of these people are enjoying more and more conveniences like electricity and refrigeration and not dying of starvation in the streets because of all this affluence. And oh, isn't that a bad thing? Because we don't care that there's people dying. What we care about is how much carbon dioxide is released into the environment. To continue reading, the carbon footprint of appliances in these countries is relatively small today, but the projected growth is ominous. Currently, household emissions in Chinese cities are around one-fifth of the Western average. But over a few decades, the world's urban population is expected to nearly double as 1 billion people trade rural village life with minimal electricity for apartment city living with the usual accoutrements. In China, 150 million large household appliances are being added each year, a figure that has been growing by around 25% annually. But even though the Chinese are buying close to 100,000 flat-screen televisions every day, TV ownership levels would need to double to match those in many Western countries. And it's 100,000 televisions a day? I mean, I'm all about capitalism, but this boggles my mind. And you're not, how are you going to stop these people from buying these televisions? I mean, you're not. Unless you keep them poor. Unless you keep them too poor to buy the televisions, there's really no other way to keep them from buying the televisions. Page 118. And this is why environmentalists are so opposed to people having money. People with money are going to spend it. Even, you know, these people, they can, again, you can make the claim you're an environmentalist wacko. You can buy your fucking Prius. You can buy your bottled water and throw the fucking bottles in the recycle bin. People with money are going to buy shit. And when you buy shit, thanks to the supply chain, which he constantly emphasizes in this book. Again, the supply chain is when the metal is strip mined, when the ore is refined with toxic chemicals to get the heavy metals out, when the metal is shipped to China, when China makes it into an iPhone, when the iPhone is driven to the port and shipped across the ocean. That's the supply chain. Everything involved in that. And you eco-fucking-statist, you just ignore the supply chain. Well, I have a Prius. Okay, what about the supply chain of that Prius, you fucking idiot? I drink bottled water and throw my bottle in the recycle bin. Okay, what about the supply chain of the bottled water and then the fucking supply chain of the goddamn recycle bin? You don't think, because again, out of sight, out of mind, because you're stupid and because you're selfish. And this, again, illustrates why democracy doesn't fucking work, because you stupid people vote. And that's how we get Obama and Hillary Clinton. Where am I at? Page 118. Second full paragraph. To end of chapter. Holy shit, Randy, where am I in time? Okay, I might be able to make this if I go fast. 118, second full paragraph, to end of... Panasonic's main competitor, Sony, has been keen to build a climate-friendly reputation. In an infomercial posted by the company on YouTube, the company's chairman, Howard Stringer, says, quote, Sony is united in its efforts to achieve... Randy, I'm not going to make it. We're going long. I know, you hate me. It's okay. Just because I tried to burn down the studio, don't get pissed off. We're going to wrap this up and then we'll call it a day. Howard Stringer says, quote, Sony is united in its efforts to achieve a zero environmental footprint while continuing to enrich our customers' lives and protect the planet we all share, unquote. One senior executive adds, quote, although eco-friendliness has not always been communicated as our main goal, the path we've taken in development has inevitably been easier on the environment. This is somehow instinctual at Sony. It's a sort of environmental sixth sense. Whew, that's a load of bullshit. Anyway, Sony's words are backed up with impressive environmental marketing, which only looks dubious initially because of its vague and distant aims of having, quote, zero environmental impact, unquote, by 2015. Legendary Japanese longevity notwithstanding, it's hard to believe this is an environmental target for which any current senior personnel will be held accountable. But let's not distract from the detail of the commitment. Sony plans to reduce its emissions and those generated using its products to zero and to use 100% recycled materials. Again, how can anybody with a brain cell, even just one brain cell, how can anyone believe that a corporation the size of Sony that produces all the things Sony produces is going to reduce its emissions and the emissions generated using its products to zero? They are going to not just build a DVD player that produces zero emissions. I'm reading because I want to make sure I get this right. They're not just going to build a DVD player that the process of creating it creates zero emissions, but when you take the DVD player home and watch the DVD player you use the DVD player in your home, it's going to create zero emissions. Now, who can be so fucking stupid that they believe that? Oh, wait, you can, because you believe in global warming. 100% recycled materials to create these products. 100%. Okay. Its Road to Zero campaign features YouTube videos, because you stupid people love YouTube videos. YouTube videos with phrases such as, quote, curbing climate change, shown next to wind turbines. Sony is, quote, minimizing emissions at factories and offices and in product life cycles by utilizing renewable energy, unquote. In Europe, most of Sony's sites are reportedly powered by electricity from 100% renewable sources. And the company saves 100,000 tons of carbon dioxide annually, partly by spending ¥1 billion on renewable energy certificates. It's developing dye-sensitive solar cells, sugar-based biobatteries, and lithium batteries and storage servers to give people more scope to store intermittent renewable energy for later use. And of course, Sony's appliances are becoming more efficient all the time. The company claims it is intent on introducing a, quote, more sustainable lifestyle to consumers, unquote. If only. Sony generates around 1.4 million tons of carbon dioxide equivalent annually and says it has reduced its own emissions by nearly 600,000 tons or close to 30% since 2000. But that's only a tiny part of the story. Sony does not estimate the emissions tied up in its, say the magic phrase with me everybody, in its supply chain. Yes, the magic phrase, supply chain. Or the 1.3 million tons of material that go into its products each year. Getting these products to customers produces another 500,000 tons of greenhouse gases. Like Panasonic, Sony provides a product life carbon footprint estimate for each new product sold each year, rather than an estimate of the footprint of the much larger number of Sony products out there. Even so, we get a sense of the scale of the emissions problem. Energy used by the products sold by Sony this year will generate emissions around 15 times that of the company's annual operations. That product use emissions estimate is 10% higher than last year, with Sony's explanation being, quote, although each unit is more energy efficient than the previous year, the number of LCD TV units have dramatically increased, contributing to the increase of total product usage-related carbon dioxide emissions, unquote. In other words, the amount of stuff being sold is outstripping efficiency gains, and the company's expansion into developing country markets leaves little doubt that maximizing stuff sold is the main priority. Yes, it is, because again, why do companies exist? Companies exist to make money. How do you make money? You make money by getting money from customers. How do you get customers to give you money? You provide something they want. And what is it right now that the fucking environmentalist, wacko, statist sheeple want? They want televisions. They want gaming consoles. They want iPhones. They want iPods. I mean, iPads. I keep saying iPod. You can tell how fucking old I am because I actually own iPods. I know what an iPod is. Kids, you used to go up to a fucking 18-year-old kid today and say iPod. They don't even know what the fuck that is. People want this stuff because, God forbid, they don't have a brand new TV to look at while they're texting on their iPhone and playing games on their iPad. The corporations are going to keep polluting the earth because you people, you statheist, you eco-statist, you femistatist, you left-wing statist, you right-wing statist, you want the stuff they're creating. And you want the stuff they're creating more than you want to not pollute the planet Earth. So shut the fuck up about global warming. And this is another indicator that global warming is a religion. All the global warming wackos talk about the evils of carbon dioxide, also, but you notice they still fucking create the pollution. It's just like religious people. Well, you know, there's sins and you're going to go to hell, but you notice, you know, they still have sex with prostitutes, they still steal stuff, they still lie, they still have sex with people they're not married to, but you know they don't really believe the religion all that much. They just say it to feel good. I feel so good. Oh, praise the Lord. I feel good. I'm feeling the power of the Lord as Jesus saves me time and time again. I keep sinning, but Jesus keeps forgiving me. I keep polluting the environment, but then I throw my plastic bottle in the recycle bin and I have been born again. I've been saved. I can start all over with a clean slate. Right? Global warming, religion, same fucking thing. Citing 40% per year sales growth in the BRIC, that BRIC stands for Brazil, Russia, India, and China economies, Chairman Stringer says, quote, Sony views the emerging markets as vital to our growth strategy, unquote. When he visited Mumbai, I think I'm mispronouncing that, Mumbai, Mumbai. In 2011, Stringer said he was, quote, particularly pleased to see bold, quote, Sony BRAVAI, unquote, billboards, I don't know what a BRAVAI is, sorry, whatever the fuck that says, billboards along the roads abuzz with speeding cars and auto rickshaws, unquote. He wasn't specific about which roads these particular billboards are on, but they were certainly not on the road to zero. The saddest thing about the appliance industry greenwash is that the greenest names in the sector are actually performing better than those in many other industries. Sony and Panasonic are a chance. That sentence doesn't make sense. Sorry. Sony and Panasonic are a chance to stabilize their operational emissions this decade, and that's not something many companies can say. What this chapter highlights, though, is the relative insignificance of those emissions compared with those created by, say the magic phrase with me, you fucking statheist, supply chains. Though Panasonic confirms it has plans to do so. Moreover, it's hard to see how the positive energy efficiency gains being made can catch up with an expanding range of upsized appliances being sold rapidly in growing volumes, while consumers collectively downsizing their overall demands for appliances is nice in theory. That's not the world in which we live, nor is it one in which Pana homes will be snapped up by the masses in any hurry. The only conceivable way to reduce the emissions of appliances rapidly worldwide is to support energy-efficient gains with a dramatic increase in renewable electricity as a proportion of the power used to run appliances. This won't happen without government policies that force a rapid shift away from fossil fuels. The best eco idea for this industry, then, is to stop pretending it's on a road to zero and start communicating this reality to governments around the world. Yes, and again, this is also the hallmark of environmentalism, is that the solution can only come from governments forcing things. We got to keep people poor so they don't buy stuff, and we have to have the governments force people to use renewable energy, even though renewable energy isn't that fucking effective and will never provide the energy demands for what all these people want. So again, you're saying, well, but great one. What is the anarcho-capitalist solution to this? Well, the anarcho-capitalist solution, my friends, is natural selection. You see, you have all of this consumption because you have all these people. Now, if you have natural selection, if you stop giving people welfare and WIC and food stamps and alimony and Social Security and all this other shit, and you allow people to actually face the consequences of their bad decisions, more people would starve to death and die. There would be less people, therefore there would be less need for televisions and Xboxes and DVD players and all this other shit, and there would be less pollution. Again, it amazes me how the environmentalist wacko statists are the ones who can't shut up about overpopulation. Whew, I haven't set the clock back yet. I'm looking, I'm going, is it really 2 o'clock? Holy shit, it's only 1 o'clock. Whew. It's the environmentalist wacko that can't shut the fuck up about overpopulation. And yet I, the evil, racist, sexist, homophobic, misogynistic, anarcho-capitalist, I'm the only one who has a fucking solution to overpopulation. The solution of natural selection, which would take care of this problem in a fucking heartbeat. I don't bother with the other side. I'm always right. All right, we'll be back with part two of this and hopefully wrap it up then. Y'all have fun. Bye. And now I'm going to go see if I burned down anything else in the meantime.